What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. What do you got, Linz?
So we talked about this on Friday. LAUSD schools all closed today, the first day of a three-day strike led by the Service Worker Union representing about 30,000 bus drivers, cafeteria workers, custodians, and special ed assistants. Members of the local teachers union walked out in solidarity too. And no school means no sport. So this is the other part a lot of people didn't think about. So the strike is heavily impacting high school athletics this week. Many high school coaches are also on campus teachers who will participate in the strike, which means sports like baseball, softball, boys volleyball, track and field, they can't practice or they can't participate in competition without their coach. So if the strike continues through Thursday like it's supposed to, all those sports will continue to be off as well. So that's what you need to know.
Wow. Yeah,
that's too bad.
I mean, it's kind of wild right now.
Yeah, you know, my sister's a special ed teacher, has been for a really long time. So, I mean, I understand, you know, all these different workers, bus drivers, cafeteria workers, you know, special ed teachers, et cetera, all saying, hey, we got to make more money. You know, the world is so crazy right now. I went out for lunch to this place today, Z Falafel, right? I ordered a plate with a soda, like a Perrier water, whatever it was. And the meal, it was like $25. I mean, everything is so expensive right now. Gas at Costco is still almost $5. So if you're making $35, $40, $50, $60,000 as a teacher, how do you live in LA? How do you live in Orange County? How do you live in Southern California?
It's tough.
It's brutal.
So, it is brutal.
And I feel for everybody. But on the other hand, hold on. You got into this business. You know, you decided you wanted to be a special ed teacher, little sister. You want to be a bus driver, or it's a job that you got and you're holding on to. And now these kids are stuck. No school, no sports. And by the way, it sticks it to the parents too, right? Because the parents are like, yeah, I got to get my kids to school because I got to go to work. So it just kind of screws everybody's stuff up. I feel for you guys, man. It's a tough spot to be
in. Yeah, I mean, listen, they did choose that particular profession, but they chose. It is a noble profession to choose. You're not going into it for the money. You're going into it for the ability to affect lives.
That's the point. So you didn't go into it and go, wait a second, I was becoming a school teacher.
Right.
You told me I was going to make $1 million.
No. But what I would say is there becomes a point where there has to be, to what you were acknowledging, a livable wage as life gets more expensive and we're seeing inflation, deflation, shrinkflation, all the flations. You got to take care of people, man.
Yeah, listen, it's a tough conversation to have because on one hand, you know, as prices go up, you would love for your salary to go up with it, but it just doesn't work like that, you know?
I mean, listen, if prices are going up, that means a lot of places are making more money.
Yeah, well, listen, again, I
understand the cost of business is going up, but at the end of the day, the company in that particular instance that's producing said product is going to make more money. Now, when we're talking about the educational system, I would imagine, now I'd have, this is going way too deep in the weeds, but I would imagine that with sales taxes and things of that nature, with prices going up, in theory, sales tax should be going up, which in theory should be helping monetize some of these situations in regards to the local governments. Now,
is that what happens with sales tax? It goes to teachers?
I mean, not all of it, but I would imagine there's a percentage of stuff that goes towards education.
Oh.
But again, that's probably going way too in the weeds. But nonetheless, when stuff goes up, yeah, salaries need to go up too.
Everybody's or only these people's?
I mean, everybody's.
And mine doesn't.
I mean, it should, but you also...
I agree.
You also negotiate a contract every certain amount of years.
Yeah, but you know what? I didn't know that gas was going to be this expensive.
Well, that,
I didn't know food was going to be this expensive, so yeah. Give me more.
Okay. I mean, but you make a lot of money.
I do not make a lot of money.
Yes, you do.
You think I do?
I do think you do.
I don't think so.
I mean, you know?
I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I don't
you
mean
just
to sound...
just afford those fine new Air Force Ones with the gummy bottoms.
Listen to me. I understand.
I mean, it was like half hard. You're not like real hard. You're just like half hard.
Is everybody hearing this?
Yeah.
Only half?
Yeah.
Only half hard.
Maybe like three quarters hard.
I guess I better.
You're not all hard.
I guess I better.
You're not wearing the full Air Force Ones.
I better run back to the dock.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, compassion to be sure for all of these folks.
Why is Laura pointing at me?
You know why.
I don't know why. Go ahead.
I'm getting a testosterone shot tomorrow after that.
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about like hard as in your hard because you're wearing those shoes because you want the smoke.
Right. Laura understands. Laura's like, you better run and get a testosterone shot, pal.
Different kind of hard.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Like Will Ferrell.
You guys, your minds go in the gutter.
Like Will Ferrell hard. Like when in that movie, you know, where Kevin Hart has to teach him how to get hard.
Exactly.
Because he's going to jail.
Yes.
Like that kind of hard.
Yeah.
All right, listen, hey, teachers, bus drivers, cafeteria workers, I feel for you. Like Chaka Khan, I feel for you. And for all the moms and dads out there and their kids are at home and it's affecting how they got to go to work or can't go to work, I feel for you too. So not a good situation, this whole LA Unified School District situation.
All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
I feel for you.
I think I love you.
Shaka Khan.
So Mario Chalmers made news this week.
Mario Chalmers.
Mario Chalmers hit one of the biggest shots in NCAA history, okay? And hit a lot of big shots in the NBA, too.
You ever see Jay Farrow, the comedian, do Stephen A. Smith on SNL, where he goes, Mario Chalmers should never touch the basketball in the last 30 seconds of a game.
I disagree. That dude's got ice in his veins.
Mario Chalmers, I love this man.
Yeah.
We are close friends.
Yeah.
But in the last few seconds of an NBA basketball game, Mario Chalmers should never touch the ball. Give it to LeBron.
Let me tell you something about Mario Chalmers before I play this cut.
Go ahead.
About how he said no one's really scared of LeBron, not like they were of Jordan. Mario Chalmers, I'll never forget when LeBron and Bosh joined Wade in Miami. And Mario Chalmers was one of the few leftovers because they had drafted him in the second round or whatever. And he played really well as a rookie. Mm-hmm. And he played really well during that era with that team. Like I said, he had big shots. He played great defense. He was like, if you look at the LeBron history of point guards, I know Kyrie, you know, was great with him and they won a championship. But I've always said LeBron is better suited. I mean, Kyrie to me is like a combo guard. He's not like a point guard per se. But LeBron's point guard, per se, should be a guy that could defend and hit threes. Like, that to me is when he's been at his best. But Mario Chalmers, I'll never forget, I was listening in on a conversation by one of the reporters in Miami at the time, and the reporter asked him, and this was like a legit question, like, he was like giving him, it's kind of like with you and Travis, where you thought you were giving Travis a compliment.
Right.
And Travis didn't take it that way.
I mean, I said he's big, he's unathletic, he doesn't move real well, but he knows the angles of the game, and that's why he killed us.
Right. You added that other stuff, but in theory, you were trying to give him a compliment, correct?
I was trying.
So the journalist in this case was trying to give Mario Chalmers a credit, and Laker fans, they'll giggle about this, because the journalist said, so do you think you can be like the Derek Fisher of this group?
Mm-hmm.
And Mario Chalmers had that stink face like,
Derek Fisher, please.
Derek Fisher.
Puh.
He's like, and then the reporter's like, well, who do you see your game more like? He's like, Chris Paul. And like, it took every ounce of me not to laugh in front of him because it's like, bro, you're not Chris Paul. But he really is. He really was, at least for that team, more of like the Derek Fisher type because he hit big shots. He played good defense. So Mario Chalmers was on a podcast. Whose podcast? The Playmaker HQ. Everybody's got a podcast.
Dude, not only everybody has one, but I mean, look, I'm not downing on anybody for having a podcast because everybody should start their own podcast.
Right.
YouTube it, put it on whatever platform you want. If you can, do it, man. I'm for everybody having a podcast. But these podcasts, there's so many of them now.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Like, who's the guy or girl? Who's the host of this podcast?
I don't know. Who hosts the Playmaker HQ podcast?
It's kind of a random guy, I guess. Okay. I looked into it. It's nobody notable.
Shout out to the random guy on Playmaker HQ.
And you're notable now, pal.
So he was talking to Mario Chalmers, and Mario Chalmers had this to say about Bron.
Nobody fears Bron. Nobody's like, damn, I gotta go play this Bron tonight. Nobody said that. I don't know why. Because I've seen people be scared when they actually line up to him, but they're not scared thinking about that matchup. You hear anybody from that era talk about going against Jordan, there's a fear.
Right.
So when you have people that fear a player, then that's telling you something different already. Like, Jordan's just that guy. Like, everything was, I want to be like Mike.
So he was talking in comparison to Jordan. Now, he did say that when they actually line up against him, he could see guys kind of, you know, clamming up a little bit. So it wasn't really as hard as the headline, speaking of hard, as the headline
only half
suggested. Right. Yeah. It was like three quarters hard, kind of like you and your gummy shoes, your Air Force Ones.
Yeah.
But here's what I would also say. Mario Chalmers played with LeBron at a time when LeBron was not feared. The Boston Celtics were the team, when LeBron started to play with Mario Chalmers and those guys, the Boston Celtics were the team to fear. It was KG. It was Ray Allen. It was Paul Pierce. It was Rondo. It was Perkins, right? Like, Doc Rivers was always saying, oh, whenever we had our starting five, we never lost a series. That's what Doc used to always say about those guys. So he is sort of right. But then what happened was, LeBron wins those two championships there, and LeBron, after leaving there, really kind of became the guy. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of solidified him as, oh, he's definitely the best player in the sport. He's controlling the chessboard for a while. Now, granted, the Warriors got KD. That changed some things. But as far as the individual player, there was no discussion that who the best player was. Like, it was him for a long stretch of time.
Right.
Especially after he had won those championships. So I think that Mario Chalmers played with LeBron at a time where he was still becoming LeBron in a lot of ways. He was 25 when he went to Miami.
But I think, this is how I hear it, Mario Chalmers is talking about today's LeBron.
No, he's talking about then, like when he played with him.
He is?
Because he said, I saw guys get scared once they finally lined up against him, but not going into the matchup.
Okay, so just...
Oh, wait. Are we going to do the thing, Kathy,
where you
want to dispute what somebody else said about
just
LeBron?
Said on the air right now.
Okay, look.
Yeah.
I say we play it again.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you my interpretation...
Right, here we go.
...of what Mario Chalmers just said about
Cap
LeBron.
Interpretations, yes.
Yeah.
Nobody fears LeBron.
Fears.
Nobody's like, damn, I got to go play this LeBron tonight. Nobody said that. I don't know
said.
Why. Because I've seen people be
past
scared
tense.
When they actually line up to him, but they're not scared thinking about that matchup. You hear anybody from that era talk about going against Jordan,
that era.
There's a fear.
Right. That era.
So when you have people that fear a player, then that's telling you something different already. Like, Jordan's just that guy. Like, everything was, I want to be like Mike.
Yeah.
But so, said was past tense.
Right. But here's how I hear it, okay?
Yeah.
When Michael Jordan played,
right,
the other guys in the league were afraid of him. They feared him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same way a lot of guys feared, past tense, Tiger Woods back in the old days, okay? Mm-hmm. I think what Mario Chalmers is saying is that currently, right now, players don't fear LeBron. And by the way, I would agree with Mario Chalmers, and I will use this as a data point. George, what was the guy's name last year? He plays for Detroit. I couldn't tell you this guy's name.
Isaiah Stewart.
I'd never heard of Isaiah Stewart. And I've never heard of Isaiah Stewart since. But the night that Isaiah Stewart...
He's hurt this year, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Yeah. That's probably why I haven't heard of him.
Yeah.
And he plays for Detroit.
Right, there's that too. You're definitely not watching Detroit Pistons basketball.
Right. But when that guy...
They'll be good in a couple years, though.
When Isaiah Stewart, last year,
yeah.
He was probably like a second-year player. I mean, yeah. He was a very young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Was all up in LeBron's face.
Yeah.
No reverence whatsoever.
Right.
No, hey, Mr. King, I'm so sorry I just ran into you. I know that you're the star of our league, and I fear you, and so I'm going to just be over here being a little Detroit Pistons second-year guy. No. This nobody in the NBA went nose-to-nose, face-to-face, pointing himself at LeBron like, let's go. And I said that night, nobody, these young kids in the league, they don't respect LeBron. They may respect what he's done. They may respect what he's accomplished. But I'm with Mario Chalmers. They do not fear 38-year-old LeBron James anymore.
Okay. Anymore is a different story, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I hear it as it's a right now thing.
I think he was, I mean, maybe I was wrong, but I saw guys like Danny Ainge go at Michael Jordan when he's with the Phoenix Suns and the Boston Celtics. Like,
well, I'm not saying guys don't go at him.
All I'm saying is I can cherry pick scenarios where guys go at guys too, like even Jordan, you know? John Starks used to go at Jordan.
Look,
John Starks was in the CBA before he played for the Knicks.
If Mario Chalmers don't say what he says, we're not talking about Mario Chalmers. So Mario Chalmers says something, it's semi-newsworthy, and you hear it one way and I hear it another. But I just look back at that moment last year against Detroit when that little kid, nobody, stood face to face with LeBron rather than backing down like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, LeBron.
No, but nobody, I mean, listen, when you get into that kind of physical altercation, people are going to go at each other. That's like, that's normal.
I just feel like you're a young nobody in the NBA and he's LeBron James. You're like, yo, I'm sorry, my bad. My bad.
That's what you would do.
Well, yeah. Because I'm a respectful person.
Yeah, nah.
I respect my elders.
I don't think a real competitor would do that.
Well, I'm a competitor as well, but I respect my elders.
Half-heartedly.
He's like, eh.
You don't find me to be competitive?
You're not a competitor.
At times.
You don't think so?
At times.
I mean, I was really upset this weekend when Travis beat us down.
Yeah.
And Sliwa.
Yeah.
As a competitor, I was pissed.
Yeah.
You're selectively competitive.
Mm.
Speaking of which, you kind of reminded me of something. I got something that has stuck in my craw for a week that I wanted to bring up, actually.
Okay.
Let's get into that. And I do want to get into a little tourney talk because the tourney will be back. We'll be back at Yamava on Thursday for the Sweet 16, so we can get into some of that next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know what song this is? No, I mean, other than the do you know what song it is?
I think it's,
Is this just the,
Laura just cheated and told him.
No, Laura told him?
Yeah,
I didn't hear it.
It's just the instrumental.
Said.
Okay, good. It's just the instrumental. Yeah.
But off the top of my head, I think it's like, is this Peaches and Cream?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Off the top of
right,
my head.
Right, right.
I'm not letting you slide right? with that one.
Laura may have, I heard somebody whisper Peaches and Cream, but I wasn't sure who it was.
Look, and then you can't ever say Laura's not on your side.
Thank you.
She is on my side. Lately, yeah. She's been siding with the right side,
so
my
side. Who's the band?
She sided.
That sings Peaches and Cream.
What do you mean, who's the band that sings Peaches and Cream?
Yeah, who is the artist?
I thought Peaches and Cream were the artist.
No, that's the name of the song.
Oh, my
song.
B.
Yeah, the group, the group.
Oh, give me
aren't
a hint.
Aren't they a separate thing? Aren't they from the 70s, Peaches and Cream? No, Peaches and Herb.
Herb,
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Herb.
Herbs.
What? Give me a hint. Who's the group? Give me a hint. Come
it's
on.
It's a number.
Yeah, it is a number.
It's 13?
No.
Why would you come up with 13?
I don't know, 7?
No. Three numbers. Three-digit number.
621.
What is that?
I don't know. Just a number?
112.
112?
Yeah.
I never heard of a 112.
I mean, come on.
Never. Never would have gotten it.
Yeah. They're from Bad Boy Records, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bad Boy. Do people say that?
No.
Okay. I didn't know if they did or not. Hey, by the way, speaking of bad boys.
Yeah.
Right now, as we head into what I believe is the fifth inning, I got to take a quick look here.
Yeah. Japan's still leading, right?
Japan is up 3-1. I'm looking
top
at
of the six, yeah.
I'm looking at Ohtani right now.
Going to the outfield.
Here's what I think's happening, though.
Yeah.
Ohtani's got a glove in both hands.
Oh, he's going to the bullpen.
He's going to the bullpen, which means
he doesn't have a glove in both hands. He has, like, it looks like a water canister.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't. Listen to me. The lights in this studio
are
so bright.
No, they're not.
I can't see.
The lights are the same thing right behind you.
I'm still wearing my sunglasses in the studio.
God.
3-1.
Yeah.
Japan over the USA.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Turner up at the plate right now for the U.S.
Yeah.
Ohtani, it seems, has gone to the bullpen, which means we are likely going to see Ohtani pitch.
Try to close the game
for
out.
Japan.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be insane? Just total insanity.
Let me guess.
All right? It's 3-1.
Yeah.
Bases juiced.
Right.
Ohtani's pitching.
And who's coming up to bat?
You know who's coming up.
Mike Trout?
Correct.
Oh.
And then Trout, grand salami off of Ohtani. For the win.
That's not happening.
You don't think?
I don't think that he's going
to
hit a home
run. Did you mean to rhyme? By the way, Trey Turner flied out to left field.
Oh, that sucks.
One out in the sixth.
Mm.
Top of the sixth. 3-1 Japan.
Things are getting dicey.
They are. Japan's good. So, Lindsay, did you load that sound somewhere?
I am putting it in there right now.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But real quick, the tournament.
Yeah. You mean like the NCAA tournament?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure I knew which one you were talking about.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
There's been a lot of upsets.
Okay.
Okay. 11 teams represented, or 11 conferences, rather, represented in the Sweet 16. That's the most ever. Okay?
Okay. Pulling up my brackets right now.
Is that a good thing?
Yes, it's great.
Why do you think it's a good thing?
Because everybody's got a chance. Listen, off the top of my head, I just pulled up my brackets. Listen, when Creighton is playing Princeton, to me, that's a great thing. Princeton can make it to the Sweet 16. To me, that's really cool. They don't have guys that are being recruited by Duke or Kentucky or North Carolina or Kansas or UCLA or even USC for that matter. Princeton's got a bunch of guys that none of the major schools would ever look at. They're here. I think that's awesome. I look at Alabama and San Diego State, just giving you an example. San Diego State's a team, got a bunch of much older guys. You watch San Diego State play, I watch that team. Dude, you'll see the bodies on these guys because they're grown men. Mm. They're not 18-year-old children.
Right.
I give them a real shot against Alabama. What, you think that's you think that's ridiculous?
No, I'm not. By the way, we just lost our signal on the DirecTV because of the damn rain.
Come on.
That's what I was laughing at. Oh. And also, Cisco Rocks tweeted us in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust.
What's he saying?
And you can join the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust by joining our Twitter community. Go to Twitter, go to the community section, type in Sedano and Cap, and you'll find us. He said 1 plus 12 equals 13. 112.
Hey. Yeah. Not bad. Listen, George, Florida Atlantic University is playing Tennessee.
They are.
Guys, listen. I grew up down in South Florida.
Yeah. Just south of Boca, yeah, where FAU is.
Florida Atlantic University?
Yeah.
Didn't exist. Nobody went to school there.
Yeah. Well, it didn't exist when you were there.
Yeah. Listen. The football program.
Right. Lane Kiffin was there for a minute.
But the football program actually began
with Howard
Schnellenberger, who won the national championship for the University of Miami.
Yeah, early 2000s. Yeah.
Right. Florida Atlantic University is in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm getting at is that, yes, I think it's great that 11 conferences are represented, because it proves that everybody legitimately has a shot in the NCAA tournament.
Now, historically, though, once you get to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, you don't want to see these underdogs because everybody likes to see the blue bloods. And historically, that's caused ratings to come down. I am curious to see if that trend changes now, right? Because NIL has changed things. To your point, more fans are more interested in their teams now because they feel like they have a legitimate shot. But that hasn't translated to television, okay? So I am definitely curious to see. I love a good underdog. I feel like you and I are good underdogs.
You think so, do you?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I think we have the best show on this station, okay?
You're very bashful when it comes to talking about that.
I have said that for a long time. And, you know, look, Mason Ireland are absolutely the OGs of LA Sports Talk Radio. I'm not trying to deny that.
Iconic.
But I think there comes a time where, you know, you're no longer the best show.
Have they reached that time?
You could still be the most iconic show, but not the best show the moment.
Okay, I see the distinction.
Travis and Slee are still, they're still young together.
Up and coming.
You and I have known each other for 20 years.
More.
Now, people didn't get the bickering at first, but now the people that get the bickering, they love the
I don't get it myself. I mean, I personally don't understand it. I walk into the Staples Center. The cops are high-fiving me. The EMT guys are like, yo, you and Sedano are hilarious. I'm like, which part? They're like, when you guys bitch at each other. I'm like, really? You guys like that? And they're like, yeah, we love it.
So, I have also said numerous times that management here doesn't get the show. Is that, I have said that before.
You have said that.
Yeah.
That management doesn't get the show.
And that they love Mason and Ireland. I get it because they've been here forever. And I feel like at times management has worked against us.
Really?
Yeah, in the sense that they play defense against us. Not like maybe openly, although maybe occasionally openly, but definitely subconsciously. Right? I have said that repeatedly over time. It's not a new thing that I'm saying. Right? I just haven't said it in a minute. But then last week.
What happened last week?
During Live Imaging Tuesday, which by the way, where the hell is Chris Morales again today? He's just schmoozing at the Circle Jerk again today. Like, whatever. Like, just come and do your job, bro. Okay?
Wow. Mason
is texting me now. Hold on.
What's he saying?
Let's see what Mason is texting. Hold on. Let's see what he's texting.
Oh, no.
He says, I love your show, but the best show on the station? Yes. I didn't stutter, bro. Okay?
Oh.
But what I said was that management has played against us. You're listening to this show, aren't you, Mason? So you love the show. But management has worked against.
He doesn't even always listen to his own show.
Worked against us, right? And nothing would be more blatant than to say it on the air, which
That didn't happen.
The program director of this station said on Mason no. Ireland on Lit last week.
No, no.
In
no.
June. All right. And we will announce it in April once we get past pickleball.
And Kaplan, once again, the favorite to win host of the year.
I don't know. Boss Amanda's in there. Our boss, the great Amanda Brown. I think he's tailed off a bit since last year's
no,
performance.
He's great.
I think the afternoon show's tailed off a
little
bit.
Now she's
do you really?
Yeah. Is it?
Whoa.
I mean, I didn't doctor that tape.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Now, I know Mason did not step into that. He didn't step. And Morales was like, whoa, all right, here we go. Like, he didn't want to get into that. But, you know, when I say those things, I don't just make them up. Like, I'm not trying to do the Michael Jordan Kobe thing where I'm making up like slights, although I do like doing that occasionally. I mean, but in this instance, they play defense against us.
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
That happened live on the radio.
You want to hear again?
Yeah, sure.
In okay. June.
All right.
And we will announce.
Let me talking about the Mandy's.
Okay, the Mandy's, which we dominated.
Our awards.
We dominated last year.
By the way, named after a listener that tweeted us on this show after our boss, Amanda Brown. Mandy. Get it?
I got it.
Yeah. All right.
In okay. June.
All right.
And we will announce it in April once we get past pickleball.
And Kaplan, once again, the favorite to win host of the year.
I don't know. Boss Amanda's in there. Our boss, the great Amanda Brown. I think he's tailed off a bit since last year's
no,
performance.
He's great.
I think the afternoon show's tailed off a little bit.
Now she's
do you really?
Yeah. Is it?
Whoa. And this all happened live on the radio.
I mean, tailed off. I mean, look, I would say that occasionally, and here's what I said at the Mandy's last year when we won Pain in the Ass of the Year or whatever the hell this award was called. I almost cursed. Don't want to do that again.
I like when you curse.
I know you do. But I said, look,
Laura's like, I don't.
Yeah. I said that sometimes this show gets a little real, right?
A little raw.
Right. And sometimes, you know, we and I fight, we laugh about it later. But sometimes, occasionally, one of us gets annoyed with each other. And it's rarely you and me, but sometimes me and one of the girls, or you and one of the girls, or the girls with one of us, and that happens. So if that's tailing off because we're being real and honest with each other, that's fine. But we're still one dysfunctional, happy family.
But you know, the way Mason set that up, he says Kaplan again.
In June. All right. And we will announce it in April once we get past pickleball.
And Kaplan, once again, the favorite to win host of the year.
Okay, hold it right there. Hold it right there.
Hold on.
No, boss Amanda's in there. Our boss, the great Amanda Brown.
Kaplan, once again, favorite to win host of the year. I wasn't the favorite going into last year.
You were
year.
The huge underdog.
I was 35-1.
Yeah. You were like, you know, who in this? You're like Fairleigh Dickinson.
I was like Seabiscuit.
No, Seabiscuit was the big favorite. Dude.
Oh, he was? Okay, yeah, I mean, I was about? Like...
I thought you were a horse racing guy.
I was
guy.
Like...
Wait a second. How what? Are you the horse racing guy? Not no
I was
Seabiscuit.
Trying to make a Seabiscuit reference. What was the horse's name that won the Kentucky Derby at 50-1? What was his name? Anybody know? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
You're the horse racing guy.
Oh, I forgot his name.
Stable Wars, Cappy. Remember?
That's right. Stable Wars.
Just saying.
Hey, look. You're right. I was the Fairleigh Dickinson last year. I was the Florida Atlantic University. I wasn't the favorite. I mean, Steve Mason was the Alabama last year, George. You were the UCLA last year. Okay?
I was the UCLA.
Yeah, that's right. You were a number two seed.
Oh, you say, because Mason was the front runner.
He was the Alabama.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, John Ireland was very much a Kansas,
yeah.
a Purdue
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of a character.
Right, I would agree. You're Fairleigh Dickinson.
Dude, I had no chance whatsoever. True story.
Again.
True story.
You were three quarters hard today. You were full hard that day.
Let me tell you something right now.
You needed to wear those black Air Force Ones that day.
Big time.
Yeah.
We were driving to the Mandy's that day, Rachel and I. And she said to me, I hope for your own sake, you don't get completely shut out and humiliated tonight.
Right.
But I think that's what's probably going to happen.
Right.
And as it turns out, we took home the hardware.
Steve Mason just texted me. He said this year, he's Creighton.
He's Creighton.
Now, Creighton, if you're looking at the tournament, is one of these teams, offensive firepower. Okay. They've got a lot going for them. They get hot. They're hard to stop. So that still means, Mace, you still got a shot, which I believe you should win. Because as you saw at the pickleball tournament, I love showing reverence to Mason. I have told Mason, and they know this, when they were on TV, me and Mason's mom, the only people watching them.
I watched.
No, you didn't.
I swear to you, I loved it.
I don't
believe
it.
I was so jealous. I was like, these guys again on TV?
Yeah. Well, but that's what you were hate watching.
No, I wasn't hate watching.
I mean, you just said you were jealous.
I was jealous, but it doesn't mean I was hating. And then he would have Freddie Prinze on the show, and I was like, how's that happen?
Why Prinze? It's Prince, yeah.
With a C or an E?
With a Z. But
Prinze.
It's Prinze. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's Prince Jr.
It's not Prince.
That's how he pronounces it.
It's Prince.
It's his name.
Anyway, whatever. I was very jealous. And now Steve Mason says he's a Creighton?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still an FAU. That's right.
You know what I say?
Tell me.
You're more like an FU.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a tofu.
Yeah. If you were listening to the first hour, that joke was really funny. All right, Big Deal or No Deal is next. Thanks, Christopher. All right, Lindsay, you take it away.
Thanks, Sedano. Sorry, I was plugging in my headphones. I have like one of those faulty headphone adapters. Anyway. So, guys, Slam Ball is officially coming back.
I love Slam Ball.
Yeah, love me some Slam Ball. The sport, which combines basketball with trampolines, has become a social media sensation nearly 20 years after going off the air on Spike TV. The renewed interest in Slam Ball has convinced big money investors to bring it back, and the sport will return this July with a six-week regular season and 1 week of playoffs in Las Vegas, of all places. Several high-profile investors in the sport include Blake Griffin, Michael Rubin, and Gary Vee. Is this a big deal?
Cappy's guy.
Yeah. Love Gary Vee.
Yeah, is this a big deal or no deal? Cappy, I feel like you've got words.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a big deal, but I mean...
Do you like Slam Ball?
I liked Slam Ball. Did you guys like it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's cool.
I thought it was kind of fun. I think the reason I liked it is because I remember, this was like 20 years ago, I don't remember what lot it was on, but it was very close to down here, downtown LA. But I remember going to the lot, and I might have auditioned for like the play-by-play job. I'm trying to remember who the girl was, the
for
famous.
Slam Ball?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I think I once auditioned also for the job for.
American Ninja Warrior?
No, but I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Especially with Akbar Baja Biamila. Or is it the other Baja Biamila?
No, it is Akbar Baja Biamila.
So what's the other game, the one that. Wipeout?
Yeah, Wipeout. That's an ESPN ABC property.
Yeah, I think
that
I
was Joe Tessitore and John Anderson.
Yeah, I think I once auditioned for that too years ago. Pre my ESPN employment. Now I can get those jobs,
job?
No problem. No, of course not. They gave me the ESPN guys. But I liked Slam Ball. It was fun. You know, like those trampolines and guys flying through the air. I was good made for TV, like sort of sports entertainment.
It probably belongs on like the Ocho, no? Yeah?
No, I liked it. And anything that Gary Vee's
I would love
into,
to be
in.
Part of the Ocho. They do that every year. I would still love to be part of the Ocho.
Yeah.
They did it 1 year here out of LA. They did like a studio thing, mm-hmm. Like a video game thing, and I couldn't make it that day. But I got asked to do it once, and I just never got asked because I couldn't do it that one time.
Yeah, for me, given my stomach issues, I'm probably more equipped to be on the Deuce.
Oh, geez.
It's a pretty good joke. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Barely made it here today.
I mean, you know, it's why the show is tailed off.
Barely made it here today. I'll tell you that right now.
We're tailing off, guys.
Yep.
By the way, George, if they asked you to do play-by-play for Slam Ball, considering it's just a little six-week thing, would you do it?
I guess. Sure. Why not? Is it going to be on like a major network?
They hasn't said anything about it yet other than it's going to be in Las Vegas and it's going to be a six-week-long regular season. You know, it's just like a little mini.
Depends on the taping. I don't want to miss the show.
That's true.
Especially since we're tailing off.
Well, you know what? The other thing is that, you know, really the color commentator doesn't have to be a basketball expert.
Right.
Just needs to be like a guy who can see things and then like come up with stuff right away.
Yeah.
So if they hired us as a team.
You want us to work together.
Well,
and
I think.
We could do the show from there.
And then we could do the show from there. Exactly right.
Yeah.
See?
Don't the Yamaha people own the Palms?
They do.
They do.
Oh, there we go. We can just do the show from there.
And we can stay there, no problem.
Talk to your folks.
I'll see everybody
at Yamaha on Thursday.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be there.
So are we going to have like a cool place to hang out during the Super Bowl? We can get like the Palms Presidential Suite or something?
We are talking about that right now.
Okay.
They've got a really good nightclub. Even still to this day, the Palms has this killer
Ghost
nightclub.
Bar?
Is that what it's called? Ghost
it used
Bar?
To be. I don't know if it's the same one.
And you're like, I don't know, whatever, is 100 you know, stories up in the air. And they've got like this window where you're looking down through the floor, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Unless you have a healthy fear of
heights.
You know, heights, right?
Yeah. Then maybe not so
No,
cool.
Then you probably throw up.
Then maybe you'd need like to do what you do, which is soil yourself.
Hey, Beto Duran, sending a shout out to you. I appreciate you sending that picture earlier today where I'm rocking those Depends undergarments.
Yeah.
Listen, it is not easy. I'm telling you right now, I had to pull over today. I was about 20 minutes out.
What is wrong with your bowels?
And I had to pull over.
Cappy, why haven't you gone to see a doctor yet? We've been talking about this for months.
Yeah, maybe you have IBS.
Maybe.
There's
do you know what IBS is?
I mean, I've heard the commercial.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I do.
Take some probiotics or something.
I do. I take them every day.
What kind of probiotics are you taking?
AG1.
What the hell is that?
Athletic Greens.
Clearly, it's not working. Not working.
What do you mean, no?
That's not working.
Maybe you get like real probiotics.
It started this morning. I was walking around in my bathrobe, and I was like, uh-oh. And you don't want to have an uh-oh moment when you're wearing your bathrobe.
Yeah, because there's nothing else.
Right, because then all of a sudden.
Nothing stopping it.
Right.
Yeah.
TMI.
And the dog don't clean up after me the way I clean up after him. You feel me?
What's next, Linz?
Goodness. Oh, I don't know if I can move on from that one.
Mm.
Rick Ross's pet buffaloes are becoming a nuisance to his neighbors. The buffaloes, one of whom is named Timbuktu.
Wait. Start that sentence again?
The buffalo.
No. Who has the buffaloes?
Rick Ross's pet buffalo. Buffaloes.
Oh, okay. Where's buffalo. This at?
I'm guessing
well, if you'll let me finish,
probably
Pappy,
in South Florida somewhere.
Tell ya.
Really?
Well, one of his buffalo are named Timbuktu, and the group of them have roamed beyond his massive 280-acre Promised Land estate in Georgia on multiple occasions, and most recently begun grazing on their neighbor's land. The rapper admitted that the animals belonged to him and addressed his neighbor's concerns on an Instagram post.
Yeah.
In response for my bulls, my buffaloes that got away in the community, this is my response. I always return stray animals. Make sure you always keep a collar on your animal. And mine don't have a collar because you know it's mine. So when you see my buffalo, give it a carrot. Give it an apple. They so kind. They so peaceful.
So he said, like, basically, thanks, everybody, for looking out for my buffaloes while they run away. But if you see them, they're kind. They're not going to hurt you. Just give them a carrot.
Yeah. There you go. Shout out to the Teflon Don.
Right. So if Rick Ross was your neighbor, would it be a big deal if his buffaloes wandered over into your yard? Cappy?
I feel like if you were neighbors with Rick Ross, you'd just want to be at his house all the time.
No, we would definitely be homies.
Yeah.
For sure.
Would you call him the Teflon Don?
Probably not. No? I call him Double R.
Oh.
You know? Mm.
Yeah. I don't know if he goes by that.
How about RR?
No.
No.
John Gotti?
How about Rick Rossi?
Mm.
Anyway, look, you know when you ever drive somewhere and you see a big wide open field?
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of cows in the field?
Correct.
You think to yourself, whose cows are those?
Yeah.
Like, who feeds those cows?
Right.
Who takes care of those cows? Where are those cows going?
I don't know.
And so it kind of strikes me as a little bit strange that Rick Ross doesn't have his buffalo fenced in. I mean, those buffalo just roam?
Well, I guess they escaped or something. There's not too many details, but it was all over the interwebs because I guess his neighbors called the police because they said that they were worried about them attacking their children. And he was like, no, they just want to eat some grass. That's all. They're vegans. They're vegetarians. They're not meat eaters. Your kids are safe. Yeah.
We have a tweet in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust from Dustin Bingham.
Yeah. What's his deal?
At Dust Bing.
Yeah.
He says he has the buffaloes on his property in Atlanta. And he has them for tax purposes in the state of Atlanta. I'm reading
what
here.
State of Atlanta? Where do you?
I'm sorry. The state of Georgia.
Okay. I thought this Bing guy didn't know the difference.
Yeah. No, that's me.
Oh, you don't know the difference.
The state of Georgia. Yeah. I believe there's a tax exemption for agricultural endeavors.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes, and he's like big into landscaping. Like he always is showing pictures of his yard and landscaping. So, and he likes to cut his grass.
Some people are into that.
Yeah, so then like grazing on his lawn helps him keep his grass from growing too high.
Yeah, I don't want to cut any grass.
Yeah, I used to cut grass when I was a kid for money.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to cut grass anymore. You know how much weed whacking I did?
Yeah.
A lot. You know how many times I washed my neighbor's cars as a kid? A lot. That's why I don't want to do it. I don't want to cut grass or wash cars.
I loved cutting the grass. When I owned my house, I loved cutting the grass. I thought it was like a nice, like peaceful meditation.
Some people like that. You know, I took up gardening during the pandemic. Like, it was cool. I did it with the kids. We planted like little plants and stuff. It was fun. It was nice, actually.
Did you grow any herbs?
I think we grew like basil.
Oh, really?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And did you have
tomatoes?
Success? You have
we
success
grew tomatoes.
Rate? Yeah, high success rate.
I wouldn't say high, but we had a success rate.
You ate your own tomatoes?
Yeah, I think my wife did. Yeah, she made
your wife ate your tomatoes.
Well, she grew them. It was hers.
Oh, they were her.
That were her tomatoes.
Got it.
So we ate them. Yes.
Okay, so you ate your wife's.
I'm
tomatoes.
Not a huge tomato person because I get like GERD.
Oh,
so
really?
I don't want to get
That's too bad.
As you called it, the acidy issues going.
What about cucumbers? You grow any cucumbers?
Oh, I love cucumbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big old head of lettuce.
Yeah.
Carrots.
No carrots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice garden.
Yeah. It's no longer there because last summer it was so damn hot, just killed everything.
Oh, I thought maybe the gophers ate them.
The gophers haven't gotten there because the garden is on a little bit of a higher ground than the regular ground.
And the gophers can't get up there?
They don't, for whatever reason.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Maybe they're afraid of heights. Those gophers drive me insane.
I know they do.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Linz.
All right, so the concept of jersey swapping sometimes feels a little strange, but...
Oh, I saw this. You're talking about the Kyrie one?
Yeah, it was super awkward for Dylan Brooks and Kyrie Irving. After the Grizzlies defeated the Mavs last night, Brooks attempted to exchange jerseys with Kyrie. And while Kyrie seemed to have no issues gifting his jersey, he completely blew off Dylan Brooks.
Well, the funny part is, if you're Dylan Brooks, you're thinking he's going to swap jerseys with you because Kyrie took his jersey off.
Yep.
Dylan Brooks then takes his off, and Kyrie just gives him, like, a dap and, like, leans his shoulder and keeps it moving.
So wait, so Kyrie did not take Dylan Brooks' jersey?
No.
I retweeted
And Kyrie did not give him his jersey either.
I would think that if you're Dylan Brooks, you're like, hey, if there's one guy in this league that'll do a jersey swap with me, it's Kyrie.
No, Kyrie had his jersey off. Dylan Brooks then took his, like, hey, I'm going to give you mine. Let's swap. And Kyrie just came in, gave him a quick dap, and kept it moving.
Really didn't want a Dylan Brooks jersey?
Nope.
I retweeted it, Cap, if you want to check out the video.
At Linz Baseball.
Yeah, on my Twitter. Because it's pretty funny.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, I saw it last night, and I almost put it in the group chat, but it was already super late, so I was like, I don't want to text them. But anyway.
That was nice of you.
Someone brought it up to Kyrie in the post-game presser, and he was like, yeah, I saw that after the game. I'll probably get it next time. Probably next time, but not this time. You know, I was already on to the next thing.
Oh, really? Make him earn it.
So, is this a big deal or no deal?
I mean... It's a big deal because it's all over the internet, and it literally was on SportsCenter last night. Yeah. I saw it on SportsCenter with Zubin and John Anderson yesterday. But it's a big deal because of that. I mean, I don't think in the grand scheme of it is that big of a deal, but it is a big deal because it became like a viral moment.
Well, what I think is funny about it, what makes it a big deal, is that Dylan Brooks thought, you know what, me and Kyrie, like, we're equals. So, like, he's gonna want mine, I'm gonna want his.
Nope.
And Kyrie's like, who are you?
Well, he said he loved Kyrie. He's always loved Kyrie, like, watched him when he was younger, so he's a big fan of his.
But he also was talking smack, saying, I'm going to defend him, make his life hell, right. Blah, blah, blah. He's been talking about that for weeks, even when Kyrie was in Brooklyn. And Kyrie just, like, he's not anti-Dylan Brooks. Like, one time he patted him on the butt and kept it moving. You know, like, they're not like that. Like, clearly Kyrie's not that interested in his jersey.
I wondered if it was a big deal because I wondered if maybe now Dylan Brooks, seeing that he kind of made like a fool of him, I guess, in a way, even though he probably didn't mean it. It doesn't look like he meant it. But Dylan Brooks might turn around and, like, you know, make Kyrie, like, he's going to talk about him.
Dylan Brooks is going to serve another suspension because now he's got 18 technicals, because after you get 16, every two you're getting suspended again. So
he's got a couple more of those left then.
He might. We'll see.
All right. Do we have time?
I mean, Draymond's already talking about him getting he gets baited a lot. So, what the hell? Why not? Do you want to do it right here, or do you want to just save it for the other side?
Well, we'll just do it here real quick.
Okay.
The American Kennel Club said that registration data from 2022 revealed that there is a new top dog in regards to the most popular breed. The AKC said that for the past 31 years, Labrador Retrievers have topped its yearly list of the most popular. But this year, a new dog has taken the top spot for the first time in data from 2022. Do you have any guesses as to which dog it is, Sedano?
Sedano.
It's a Frenchie.
It is. It's a Frenchie. Yeah. I could not fool you.
It beat the Golden Retriever or whatever, or the Labrador.
For 31 years. 31 years, the Labs, everyone wants a Lab, but now all of a sudden everyone wants a Frenchie.
It's why our boy Big Perk went into the Frenchie business.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Chewies have Frenchie. I love my Frenchie. Cappy does not love his Frenchie.
Well, here's the thing, is that now that I know that the Frenchie is like the most popular dog, now I don't like having a Frenchie.
Because they're so cute.
You know, I just, listen, my kids are all like, oh, Dad, when I get older, I'm going to have a Frenchie. I'm like, don't get a Frenchie. Go to the kennel and save a dog and you know, take home a dog that you know, needs a home. We got a breeder kind of Frenchie 8 years ago. I love this dog, okay?
Jack.
But he hates everybody. This dog hates everybody.
I mean, he bit Rachel in the booty.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right in the tuchus.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And he bites everybody, and he like goes after everybody.
Aww.
You know, and it's a horrible personality trait this dog has.
That's,
I mean,
weird.
Usually that's on the owner.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the Frenchies I know are super nice, super cute.
You want to know who the owner is?
Yes.
You.
No.
No, it's his ex-wife.
Oh.
There's no such thing as bad dogs, just bad owners.
Now, the dog lives with me.
That's why I don't want her to get the Lomi. That's why I put it in Julia's name.
The dog lives with me, but he is technically the property of the ex.
She took care of him.
Yep.
In the early formative years.
Yep.
Yeah.
We should introduce him to Chewy, because Chewy's so fun and playful.
You don't want to bite Chewy.
Yeah.
He likes a little play biting.
Somebody just sent me like doggy CBD biscuits.
Oh,
give him some of that.
Yeah. I'm going to try and chill him out.
You've been saying that for weeks. You haven't tried them
yet? Well, you know why? Because these people asked me for my address, and I gave them my P.O. box. I have a P.O. box where people send me stuff. You know what I mean? And so the box came, and then I had it at Rachel's house, and there were like these other CBD like facial masks that she and I are going to try. You know, because I want skin.
So what
like
happened
Sedanos.
To the doggy biscuits?
Yeah, and the doggy biscuits are still sitting in the box.
Oh, they just give it to him.
Haven't taken them home.
I mean, put the mask on and give them the biscuits
They're
and see how it goes.
Yeah.
We got the booze. Mom gave me CBD for my dog so we can like do the nails and, you know, all that stuff. My mom saw it and she was like, "You are not drugging my dog." And I was like, "Mom, she doesn't let you groom her because she's like super afraid of everything." And my mom literally takes the doggy weed and throws it in the trash. And she's like, "You are not drugging my dog." She was so mad.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm trying to like disguise
it. I actually have a friend whose dog was, you know, terminally ill. And they gave him those biscuits, and the dog had a great life until the end.
Really?
That's what happened with Sammy. He was old. He was like almost 14.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at the way in there, and that helped him. He started running again once I started feeding him the CBD treats. It helped him a lot.
Mm.
Helps with their joints, and it helps calm him down a little bit.
CBD helps the dogs with their joints, huh?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, real quick, I just want to point out that, Cappy, you have a P.O. box because you don't want people to know your address. But when you send out packages to listeners and people you don't know, you put your return address on them.
Just remember, it was my son who sent the hats to listeners.
Okay.
And I never said to him, "Hey, these are people who listen to the show. Don't put our home address on there."
Okay.
Which is weird because a lot of times I get home and they're just all there at my house. You know? Like, all these listeners are just hanging out at my house. Like, "Hey, we know your address. We came to hang out."
No one showed up.
Cook dinner, Jack.
All right, that is Big Deal or No Deal. We broke the clock, so we have one more segment to go. Dealer's choice, because that's all we're going
to
have time for.
I have something I need to talk about.
Next. Big spot here in the WBC final. Mike Trout is at the plate, trailing 3-1. Japan leading, top of the seventh. It looked like he got hit on the hands, but I guess on replay, it looked like it hit the barrel of the bat first. So Trout, 0-1 count, two runners on, first and second. Here's the pitch. Trout hits it into right field. Right fielder coming in, gets the ball there, makes the catch. So Trout with a shallow fly there, and there's now one out with two runners on, and time is running out for Team USA here.
All right, well, there you go. Who's coming up next? I don't know.
I don't know the batting order.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
Don't have it committed to memory.
Yeah, but I'll tell you in a second because someone will be coming up shortly.
All right, here we go. Now we're looking at Trout in the dugout.
Yeah. And in this case, you're here, so you won't be getting it in delay like you've been getting it the last couple days.
I know. I need you to give me 30 seconds. When I'm broadcasting from home, you got to give me 30 seconds.
No. You need to get better TV service.
Well, I mean, who do I talk to?
I don't know.
I mean, I got Cox, you know?
Paul Goldschmidt is up. Swing and a miss. Strike one. 0-1 count.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are laughing because of all the innuendo we've had today. 0-3, by the way, Paul Goldschmidt. Couple of strikeouts.
Let me ask you guys a question, and you'll continue to do play-by-play here, but in between, so I'm driving up from South L.A. today, and I got to go to the bathroom just absolutely desperately. So I should have gotten off the freeway.
Is this dealer's choice?
Yeah,
this is dealer's choice.
And I need to go to the bathroom, so I pull over, I get off the freeway.
We should have Dealer's Choice music.
We definitely need Dealer's Choice music, 100%.
Laura, pick whatever you want.
It should sound like a casino.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe it's the theme from Casino.
Right, I don't know.
What about like casino, like slot machine, like casino
slot machine ambience, works.
You know, like the stuff in the background?
It's Dealer's Choice. So I pull over at this In-N-Out. Uh-oh, looks like
Goldschmidt. Oh, I grounded into a double play.
Oh my God.
Japan out of the inning.
Yep. 3-1 going to the bottom of the seventh.
Taisei gets out of the inning, and 3-1 going into the bottom of the seventh. So
Otani's coming up.
Kondon, Otani, and Yoshida up to bat 2-3-4 for Japan. So the meat of their order.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, we're running out of time, USA.
Yeah.
USA. USA.
All right, go ahead. Dealer's choice.
Anyway, so
you got to poop.
So I get off the freeway, and the closest thing I can get to is an In-N-Out. So I pull into this In-N-Out, and I...
What about your...
I was already north.
Where was that place you like?
Ortega Highway.
Another falafel place?
That's Z Falafel.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but you're right. There is another place in Orange County, that I like, but I'm way past, man. Okay. I'm like 20 minutes out of downtown L.A.
Yeah.
So I pull over. There's this In-N-Out, and I park my car at the In-N-Out, and there's a guy outside in the In-N-Out like line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there's unbelievable. Like, if you wanted an In-N-Out burger, this was the time of day to get one because it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. There was no line. So I say to this young man, I say, "Hey, man, I want to use the bathroom. And then, you know, like, can I order through you? And he's like, yeah, you can, you know, just go ahead, man. So he gives me the code to the bathroom. I go into the bathroom. I do some stuff, you know. I come out, and I don't know, do I have to order to this guy, like, face-to-face, even though I'm not in my car? Do I need to get in my car and get into the drive-thru line? Truth be told, I didn't want to order anything. I just didn't want to use their bathroom without buying anything. But when I walked out, the guy had his back to me. So I, like, hustled to my car and pulled out and didn't acknowledge him or say anything to him, like, hey, I've changed my mind, or, like, yo, I got stomach problems. I can't be eating this right now.
Right, right.
You know? So I kind of just went behind his back and walked out. Is that okay to do? Like, when you're in a desperate situation, use somebody's bathroom without buying something from them?
I mean, you probably shouldn't, is what I would say. Girls, what do you say?
I don't think it's that big of a deal because, I mean, you got to go, you got to go. What else are you going to do, you know?
Well, then, just to make matters worse, then I get to the office here, right? So now I'm in the handicap stall here at the office, and I'm kind of just playing on my phone, going through tweets, answering emails. I'm just relaxing, you know? And the cleaning lady, like, peeks her head into the men's room. And she's like, hello? And I'm like, hey, I'm in here. And she's like, okay. And then I go back to my phone. I'm just playing with my phone. I'm tweeting. I'm emailing the whole thing, right? And finally, like, 5-10 minutes later, I'm like, oh, my God. She's probably, like, waiting outside the bathroom for me.
Probably. You
know? Like, I feel so bad. So I'm hoping that she's in the ladies' room, cleaning the ladies' room. I come out of the bathroom. And there she is, like, standing there, like, staring at me. Like, you must be so sick. Like, what am I about to walk into? So yeah. I'm, like, trying to, like, tell her, like, hey, I was just sitting there on my phone, like, relaxing. It's not like it's not like I made a big mess or...
I mean, you did.
But I was just relaxing on my phone. And she just had that look, like, you've had me standing out here. You knew I was out here trying to clean the bathroom. You couldn't hurry up? I felt bad about that.
Again, so, you gotta go, you gotta go.
So
Kathy.
Two experiences today where I kind of felt bad.
Kinda.
Yeah.
But not really.
Well, I mean, I did. I mean, I felt...
You were embarrassed.
Yeah, both times.
It wasn't that you felt bad. Yeah. It was you were embarrassed. Yes, that's an excellent distinction.
Nice job of interpreting my feelings.
Yeah. Happy, if this keeps happening, you just need to go to the doctor.
We've been yelling out off of
mountaintops.
You got
IBS, bro.
You know? Just saying, bro.
You think so?
We love you. Go to the doctor.
Well, this morning I had 2 cups of coffee.
Go see a gastroenterologist.
I have.
And what did he say?
Really?
He said, I'm fine.
No way.
Yeah, when I got a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
And when I got the endoscopy.
How long ago was that?
When was that?
3 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to go again every year.
Just tell him you keep pooping yourself.
I'm not pooping myself.
I mean, you're coming close.
I am getting close.
Right. That's not normal.
So you're going to wait until you finally do.
What do you need?
Until you finally
depends?
Reach that point. And then you're going to go.
Well, didn't you see the picture that...
That was funny.
That Beto put out there today where I was rocking the Depends?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Do you need those?
I don't know if I do, if I don't. I don't know. I just, today, twice, I felt terrible, horrible. I was so embarrassed.
Yeah. All right, we're done here.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
This is good music right here, Laura.
Okay, good. I'll keep it.
Dealer's choice.
Yeah. All right, we're done here. Cappy, excellent work.
Outstanding.
Don't poop yourself on the way home.
No, I'm going to clear out before I go home.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Sorry that we tailed off here at the end.
Well, it's not me, it's you.
Okay, definitely me. Excellent work, Lindsay and Laura. What's coming up next, Laura?
ESPN Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, ESPN Radio! Freddie Coleman, my pal. And Ian Fitzsimmons. They'll join you in just a moment.